When you go in the 21st chapter of Romans, the fourth verse, the Bible says some prophesied, some disciples came. They prophesied to Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. There was nothing but trouble in Jerusalem. Agabus came, the prophet came to Paul, and he told Paul, he took his garment, and he said, the Bible said he wound it up on his body, and he said, whoever this belongs to, they will be bound. Let me turn to that in there. It says, and the same man, it's in the 11th, and when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, and he bound his own hands and feet. That's in 21, this is at verse 11. He said he bound his own hands and feet, and he said, thus says the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events of the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
K-A-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I...
Praise the Lord. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. Praise his holy name. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this wonderful opportunity to hear your word. Meet us in the text, tell of the truth that we are teaching today, that every hearer's heart might not only hear, but heed what you have to say. God, give us insight. Give us power to practice the principles that we might give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. There is a word today for parents, for grandparents, godparents, adoptive parents, and the like. And it's found in a 21-word text in Proverbs 22, verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6, recorded are these words. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. We've heard this verse quoted time and time, recited time and time again, but I'm not altogether sure that we understand it in a more profound manner, especially as relates to what the Lord would have us to really know about this verse. It's important because when we look at that, there are so many things to be said about this 21-word text. There are two views. There are things within each view that help us to understand it. First, First, from the macro, which is the larger view of the text, it talks about involvement and responsibility, but it also talks about investments and returns. And when we look in the micro view, we then begin to walk through the words and understand more clearly what all of this really means as relates to both the trainer and the trainee. One of the things that you'll note beginning with this word is that there is an obvious relationship that must take place between the trainer and the trainee. And when the word says train, please don't take offense, but it literally means in that same word that's used as trainer in every essence of life, whether you're talking about people or whether you're talking about animals, because we are creatures of habit. And when we learn that we operate habitually on practices either perceived, learned, or inherited, it is within the confines of us understanding that there are some things that will never change unless we're trained. We're taught. We have learned behavior. And so that's one of the reasons why a child psychologist says we learn what we live. And so it's important to understand the relationship must take place again, between the trainer and the trainee. Train, and again, one of the words that define this word is discipline. Discipline. Discipline is important to understand more than in simply correcting or paddling, but discipline as in giving them a focus and a science by which one thing is achieved. So when you talk about discipline, it includes so many various things, but the whole point of that is that it is the trainer's job to keep the trainee on course. Yes. See, regardless of what arena you are being trained in, there is a natural resistance to training. And so because there is a natural resistance to training, the trainer must be able to discipline the trainee. Sometime our attention strays off. The trainer's got to bring the attention back on course. Sometimes we don't feel like doing it. Trainer's got to motivate them and get them ready. Come on, you can do this. You gonna do this. There is a corresponding action that happens if you don't do this. And so the trainer has got to be disciplined in order to discipline. I think I'll say that again. I said the trainer has to be disciplined in order to discipline. If the trainer isn't disciplined, then it's not going to show much for the trainee. Because some many times, anybody who's been a real trainer at anything knows sometimes you got to encourage yourself. You got to push yourself. You got to put yourself in a place of understanding that you've got to have the right mind, the right focus in order to go in and be the encouragement and the example that the trainee needs. And so that's important to understand the discipline of this. But then it says train up. And then there's another word that's connected with this phrase, train up, and the word is dedication. Because, you see, a good trainer don't just start training. A good trainer completes the training. Yeah. Train up means to literally start and complete the training. And that requires dedication. If the trainer isn't dedicated and he or she teaches with a hit and miss concept, then the child will learn with a hit and miss concept. But if the trainer is dedicated to seeing this job through, then the end result will be that the involvement of the trainer and his or her responsibility will ultimately yield the right investment returns in the child. See, what a whole lot of us don't realize is that a child is perhaps one of the greatest examples of our ability to train, discipline, and dedicate our lives to focusing and making the best out of a human life, and showing that if we deposit into that life the best, that the best can come out of that life. A child is like a blackboard that can receive whatever you write on it. A child is like a sponge, whatever you place it absorbs it. A child is the ability to be able to become whatever the training permits them and exposes them to become. One of the things that you're going to note, I don't know how many of you have ever seen that movie. I think it was Trading Places with Eddie Murphy some many years ago. And he was a small-time hustler and so forth. And there were two rich brothers. And they bet a dollar. One believed that we are products of our environment. The other brother just believed you are what you are. And they bet a dollar that if they took a man and switched places with another man, that the person who had come up with an Ivy League education, who had been reared by the best of school and parents, et cetera, wonderful producing member of society, and then you take another one who was born on the wrong side of the track, who had no real good education, who was a thug and a lowlife, and if you switched places with them, one brother believed that by virtue of exposure and training, that that person would thus change. The other brother believed, I don't care what you give them, they are what they are and they ain't gonna change. Well, if you know the story, the one brother who was right about trading places, and Eddie Murphy, who was a little thug, now had been changed to a place of prominence and given all of these wonderful things, and now he adjusted and adopted the lifestyle of the rich and famous. Mentality changed. Everything about him changed because he was exposed to better teachings and understandings. And so he then became the quintessential example of being able to change due to training and environmental conditions. The other one, who was rich, resorted to being able to get by and doing whatever it took to get by as well. However, he still had some stuff in him that he had been taught, that he learned and he knew, and he was able to later bring back on his situation, which then changed his situation and gave him again a way out of his situation. And so this speaks to both of those realities in truth, because sometimes you can have a good child in a bad situation. And there are things and effects that happen. And sometimes you can have a bad child in a good situation, and the same thing happens. But here is the truth. When you train that child up, and if that child so happens, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but if that child so happens to do what he or she wants to do in the interim, and life happens as a result of decisions they've made, the training inevitably will bring them back to the right track before it's all over with. That's why we've got to understand it's important for the trainer to understand that the trainee is that person who must receive the best of what is given in training to become the best. Now it says train up a child, and literally it means from infancy to adolescence. Now, if I'm training, here's what I need to know. What am I training for? folk don't train just to be training. You have to have a purpose for training. What do you want your child to become? What do you want your trainee to become? There are two things that you're going to note again that are found in this verse. One is foundational. The first thing, the first half of this verse talks about foundational issues, because a child must be given good foundational training. Firm foundation. Strong foundation. From infancy to adolescence. In other words, you've got to realize that that child is not too young to learn. One of the problems with society has been that they have waited too long to start training the children, thinking that the children were too young to learn. But what we have learned is that we have been too late in trying to teach them or train them. Listen, their little minds can comprehend more than we know. It has been recorded and revealed that even while a child is yet in the mother's womb, if you read to the child, if you expose the child to classical music, if you share in an environment of peace, etc., where that child is yet in the mother's womb, but yet exposed by way of her ear canal, by way of those things that funnel into the child, that learning starts even in an embryonic stage. Now, listen to this. What is most important is to understand, what do you want your child to become? See, that's one of the major problems. Most parents don't even know what they want their child to be. Have no idea. Matter of fact, it was not planned. It was a shock, a surprise. If they had anything to do with it, they wouldn't have come right now. It would have been much later, whatever the case is. So now it's like, oops, I've got a baby here. What am I going to do? That's the mentality of most folk in rearing a child. It has come upon them unexpected, not planned for, prayed for, anticipated, but an unexpected interruption. And so as a result of that, y'all getting mighty quiet on me. I just want to encourage somebody and tell you it's not too late. That's all I want to say, it's not too late. Listen, because here is what you need to understand. The guidance of the trainer, the parent, whomever that person may be involved in that child's life, will bring more reality in the end result by what he or she exposes that child to than he or she will ever know. So then notice what he goes on to say, in the way he should go. That has to do with directives and directions. See, when the foundation is laid, you will note that you start giving the child directives, commands and encouragements about doing a certain thing or not doing a certain thing, and then connecting with those directives, discipline, that they are rewarded when they obey, but then they are dealt with when they do not obey. You know, modern child rearing suggests that we ought not discipline the children today. Yeah, that we ought to put them in time out, that we ought to do some other things, whatever that may be, but. But whatever, I'm not saying beat the child crazy by no stretch of the imagination, but sometimes you got to let them know whose hand is heavier. Yes, the Bible does say spare the rod, spoil the child. I never hit my child. I can tell. But listen to this. Most folk who have never hit their children wind up being hit by their children. Being disrespected by their children. Being cursed out by their children. See, the old folk had just a simple, direct approach. I brought you here. I'll take you away from here. Now, that was a bit hard and harsh and, you know, crude, but hey, look, they didn't play with it. You know, you act up here, I'm going to straighten you out here. That's a shame how she beat that child. That child act a fool out in the street. That child got his butt whipped out in the street. If the child don't want to be embarrassed, they will learn, I will not embarrass mama or daddy out in the street because mama or daddy crazy. Get around children and they start acting up like, oh, no, no, no. That's not how we do that. Just because that child don't have upbringing don't mean you don't have upbringing. And discipline comes back in. But whatever manner of discipline works, then that matter of discipline works for you. But the Bible makes clear that we are not to spare the rod. And so that rod means many things, and whatever that area is that brings that child back into a corrective lane, that's really what it means. So whether that's time out for others, or that's an extension card for others, or whatever the case is, hey, that's your situation. Directives. But listen to this. In the way he should go. The next word tells us directions are important from the trainer to the trainee. Directions in the way he should go. Do you think a child knows which way he or she should go? No. They may think they know. How many times were you far beyond adolescent stage and you thought you knew what you wanted only to discover you didn't really know what you wanted? So what about a child? A child is not equipped to make those decisions. A good parent, a good trainer guides that child, directs that child, points out the way to that child, begins to unfold and expose them to those things that that child should go into, should be led into the path of, should become. So how does that happen? Well, it all depends on what you think that child should go, the way that child should go. Many parents have etched out in life and society wonderful and prominent places for their children because they gave them direction. They told them, to not go to school is not an option. Yeah, no, you're going to hit the books. And you're going to become this or that, or you're going to do this, that, and that. Now, after you become that, if you want to change, then that's all up to you. That's all right. But you're going to at least get this far. They made it clear to them that that wasn't an option. And so they directed them. I was thinking back, Tiger Woods' father gave him direction. As a little bitty boy, took him out on the golf course, and involved with him, showed him some of the instructions of golf. But he had a purpose in mind to make Tiger the best golfer he could become, a better golfer than him. And so he just kept on from the first day, continuously taking him out, training him and training him and training. When he got to the point where he couldn't train him no more, he hired a trainer who had more expertise to take him to another level. And from that point on, he developed even more. And as you know the story, he then became, you know, one of America's top golfers.
Mr. Williams with Venus and Serena. Said, my little girl's gonna be the best tennis players. And he took those girls out there and he worked with them and directed them, guided them in the way. Did you think they wanted to know what tennis was all about when they first went out there? No, I think not, because it's very grueling. It's very time consuming. It's very disciplined and all the rest of it. Children didn't want to do that. But let me ask you a question. Did it pay off for them? Yes. Now they've got enough money to be whatever they want to be, do whatever they want to do, because their father directed them and stayed the course. Listen, he gave them discipline and was dedicated until they became what he saw them becoming. Now, I don't know what area, what arena it is that you think your child should be going in or what they should become. Some of you say, well, I'm going to just let my child make up his or her mind. And that's fine. That's good if that's what you want to do. But give them the tools they need to be, listen, the best of whatever they choose to be. Give them the knowledge to be or to become whatever they, expose them to the finer things and the higher ways of life so that they will know that that's what you're expecting. Listen, baby, I don't care what you be. I just want you to be the best of what you're going to be that honors God and me, because you can't be the best at some stuff that ain't right. So be careful about that. I just want you to be the best you can be. Yeah, because there are some things you can be the best at that can take you straight on to hell. But you're the best at it. No, you don't want that. You want to make sure that God is pleased and that all that you have invested in that child brings back the returns that make you pleased. That child has a premium life, a profitable life, a peaceful life because of your training. And then the last part is important because it says, and he will not depart from it when he is old. And when he is old, he will not depart from that. Two words, development and destiny. See, number one, the word says, and conjunction ties together the first part of that verse to this last part, and when he is old. Now, the word old here is interesting because literally what it means is mature and developed. When he's matured, it didn't say, and when he is older. It says, and when he is old. Now, this word or this term is relative because everybody matures at a different level. So old could be for someone one age, and old could actually be old age for another before they really mature, before they really come in, before they really get it together. It can be worlds apart in terms of what old is, but it literally means mature and development. Now, here's what you need to know, that during this time of training where you have been involved and done responsibly your part, is to understand that there is a season or a time of development that you cannot control. It's a time of decision making that has to do with that child understanding the content being confirmed on the inside of them that it is what you shared with them it is. In other words, they then live what you've shown them and realize it is real. It comes to pass. This is right. And see, sometimes it takes a child to go through some stuff to realize that. Because, you know, the law says that